Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators take on the Boston Bruins tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame coverage starting at 6 p.m. on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Also, here we're in the arena, so I can't hear anything going on outside. Apparently, there is bad hail and thunder, bad weather rolling through if it hasn't already. So be safe if you can stay home. Try to stay home as best as you possibly can.
And pay close attention to the reports around you. Check your I always say Nashville Severe Weather on your Twitter.
It's always the best Twitter account.
They're so good at details and stuff like that. It's a great way to check. Don't do it while you're driving in the hail, but pull over, check it. Like, just be sure. There's too much going on.
A lot going on. Stay safe out there. We'll catch up with PK Subban here in just a few moments. He is back in Nashville. Want to get PK's perspective of what this team has accomplished in the last 20 games, because I know Predators fans are ready to hit the panic button because you've lost 2 games in a row, but I promise you it is not time to panic. But this is a big one tonight, and this is a big week. You got the Boston Bruins rolling into town tonight. You've got the St. Louis Blues that are creeping up and beat Edmonton last night after losing to the Sharks 4-0. I did not see that coming. Big win for St. Louis. But tonight, you know, I want to couch everything that I'm saying with, I still feel really good about the Predators making the playoffs. I've said it, and I will continue to say it. The Predators are going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But tonight, Willie, I think that this one is a big one. To get that edge back, to get that fire back. We haven't seen the Predators play with that kind of edge and fire against the Coyotes and against the Colorado Avalanche. They went up 2-0 against the Coyotes, and it felt like they just kind of kicked their feet up and thought, okay, got this one taken care of, and they paid for it. Against the Colorado Avalanche, they came out, and it was a really fast start, but they just simply couldn't finish. I want to see that same tenacity, that same edge that they played with in that 18-game point streak. Whether that shows up in the win and loss column, whether it's an overtime loss and you're able to pick up a point, of course you're going to feel better if you get a point or even 2 tonight against the Boston Bruins. You win tonight, you beat St. Louis on Thursday, it feels like the job is as good as done. But beyond that, I just want to see the Predators get back to that level of play that we know that they can play with.
I agree, and I think you're right to point out, when you're playing a team like the Bruins, you could play really well and still come up short.
They're a very good team.
Because the Bruins are just that good, and they're very tough to score against. They do everything well. Their special teams are both in the top 10. So you got a major, major challenge with a cup contender. I would imagine you're going to have a Bruins team that's focused. They know what happened to them last year. They had the unbelievable run in the regular season, only to lose in the first round. So they're going to be hungry for sure. They're trying to win a division title to give themselves the best draw going into the first round. So it's not like they're going to coast to the finish line, I don't think. So you're going to have to play well to get points tonight. You mentioned St. Louis's win last night. That was a big win for them to bounce back after, you know, they could have just, they got booed off the ice. Yeah. They lost to the Sharks, which is not easy to do. And it's the way they lost. That was, they lost 4-0. They didn't score against the Sharks, the team that gives up the most goals in the league. So to bounce back and beat a team like the Oilers, that's going to get them back. They're only 3 points behind the Kings, the Blues are. So they feel like they're in it. And when they come here Thursday, they're going to be in it. For the Predators' standpoint, their magic number is 8. So 8 points that they get or the Blues don't get. So obviously that head-to-head on Thursday is going to mean a lot. But tonight you've got a great challenge. You can do it yourself, right? You're getting back pressure. That may not be the worst thing, right, to keep, like you say, keep looking forward, playing. Well, I heard Andrew Burnett's comments. He goes, I want to just drive forward. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about everything else. I want us to drive towards the finish line here, take care of it ourselves, play our game, and he feels like the results will be there, right, if they do that.
Yep. Beside the first unit, what do you need to see from the other guys? What would be the matchup that you're looking at that is going to say, okay, if they do this, then they will win or they should win?
I think, number one, Bruno said yesterday, we have lost the game on the margins a little bit. He said there's a lot of things that our team is still doing well. He liked what they did in a lot of sections of the game. I don't think there's any question. He and a lot of his colleagues were not happy with the McDonough call. That sort of set things in the other direction against Colorado. So there were some good things that they liked in that game. But he said on the margins, we've got to do better. A couple less penalties that you don't need to take at that time. Discipline, which has been a strength up until these last couple of games. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously he's not going to ever say anything about the goaltending, but I think it's clear if you ask Kevin Lankin and UC Saros, how do you guys think you played? I think they could both say, well, I could have played a little bit better. I could have made another big save here and there. Maybe that changes the game. That would be big. Against the Bruins, the big thing that the Bruins do, they limit the chances. They play a lot of low-scoring games. The Bruins have had, I think, 25 games go to overtime. Mm. So the lower-scoring games are the ones that tend to go to overtime. So they don't mind a 2-1 game where there's not a lot of ice open. So I think you got to be opportunistic. They have two excellent goalies that they basically rotate. And they get good goaltending. They play tough defense. And they feel like, all right, we got enough scores. We'll get enough goals if we hold the other team to two on a lot of nights or less. So I think that's the challenge, is can you get quality offense against the Bruins? And then on the other side, can you get the key saves against a guy like David Pastrnak, who can turn nothing into something, right? He's just that good of a shooter.
And I think it's also a challenge in and of itself that you just don't play the Boston Bruins very much. You don't see them.
It seems like forever ago.
Yeah. It does. It feels like an odd matchup at this point in the season. You know, fast forward to Thursday against St. Louis. Like, that's a team that you're familiar with. That's a team that there's some serious juice in terms of the Western Conference standings. But as far as the Bruins are concerned, it's just not a team that you see very frequently. It's not a team that you're very familiar with, which presents new challenges. Obviously, it's challenges on the Bruins side as well, because you don't see the Bruins don't see the Predators very frequently. But I think the other thing as well is the Bruins are very much still playing for a lot. Have the Bruins already clinched the playoffs?
They've clinched the playoffs. So what they're trying to do
is they still got standings and seeding that they're playing for.
They're playing for seeding. They're 2 points ahead of the Florida Panthers. And if you win that division, you're going to play probably, unless they're 3 points behind the Rangers for number one overall seed in the East. So right now the Bruins would play the Lightning, who are likely going to be, I mean, it's almost locked. The Lightning will be wild card one. So not that that's an easy first round matchup at all, but the Lightning are a level down, I think. If you look at their stats, they're still really good, but they're not quite as deep as they were when they were winning the cups. You look all across the league, ex-Lightning guys who they just couldn't keep with the salary cap, like Ryan McDonough, are on other teams now. So they've traded so many draft picks and stuff to get to keep their guys and to try to get those extra pieces. So it's catching up to them some. Mm-hmm. But I think if I'm the Bruins, I would rather play the Lightning. Sounds crazy. But I'd rather play them than somebody like the Maple Leafs, who beat the Lightning last year, and they've got Austin Matthews, who's got 62 goals and counting. The guy just keeps scoring at will, seems like.
62.
So I think they would like to hold on to that one seed and play a wild card.
And Willie, in your opinion, because I look at this game as a get back on track game for the Nashville Predators. You lost that edge, you had that edge, you played with that edge, you haven't played with that edge over the last couple of games. Get back on track and, you know, get back to that just tenacity and the toughness that we know that this Predators team can play with. But also, how much of this is a get back on track game for UC Saros? Because I know it was one bad game against Arizona, but still, it was UC Saros that looked like the UC Saros earlier in the season. We were all thinking, like, what is going on? This isn't Saros. When he was, you know, goals were going in that typically UC Saros saves those kind of goals. You only got, what, 8 games left in the season? Is there a concern level that UC Saros is getting cold at the wrong time?
Yeah, I think tonight you've got your chance to say that was a one-off, right? If he has another subpar game and then one after that, you know, you don't want to think about that. But that's what you would that's what you would fear if you're Worrywart Willie, right, or you know, somebody like that. Yeah, because he was so good, 12-0-2. There's going to be a game or two where you're not super sharp, yeah. right? And that was definitely the case on Thursday. So, yeah, I think it's an important game for him and everybody, really, just to try to get back to that winning feeling. But you're going to have to earn it tonight. Like I said, I think you could play really well in this game and lose. You don't want to look bad, right? Yeah. I think to me, if they just keep – we talked about the underlying numbers. Despite the streak, if you go back all year long, what they're getting quality-wise, what they're giving up, most nights they're doing really well in those areas. If they can keep doing that, they might have another bad game or two between now and the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But they should get the at least four wins out of the last eight. You would think, right? Yeah. If you keep putting that product out, you are going to win. There might be a night or two where you don't have it or you get a bad bounce or you run up against a really good team. But if you keep that formula, that shape that they've been doing most nights, I think they'll have their share of success.
But does it – I mean, in the big picture of things, does it matter whether they get the number one spot or the number two spot, Willie? Does it matter that much in the big scheme of things? Because
wild card one.
Because they're going to have to play a good team, whether they're wild card one or wild card two.
I agree.
Or is it just about the travel?
Andrew Burnett was asked that yesterday. And he said, look, we'll take anybody. He said, it's hard to make the playoffs. We're not there yet. We'll take whoever they give us in the first round. And so I think if they can clinch, then maybe you start looking around and say, okay, what is the best matchup here? But until you clinch, it's also hard to tell who's going to be in what spot, right? Because Vancouver has recovered after a little bit of a downturn. They've won their last couple. The loss by the Oilers last night, I think, gives you a little better indication that the Canucks will hang on to the division title in the Pacific. And right now with the surprise loss last night, the Avalanche lost to the Blue Jackets last night, which is kind of like, what? Huh? Yeah.
And Dallas is on a how many game winning streak?
Seven in a row. Woo. So Dallas right now is looking like they're going to be they've got an inside track on the Central. So it's looking like Dallas, Vancouver right now. So with an outside shot that the Avs could still pass Dallas.
I don't want any piece of the Avs. Frankly,
nope.
I don't. Part of it is travel, and part of it is having to play in that arena. But I'll ask you, what do you think is the most optimal matchup for the Predators? And it really is. We were talking about this with Elliot when you were gone last week, Willie. It's really like picking your poison.
It definitely was like,
you want electric chair or injection. Like that's really kind of what it feels like, and to say it in a very crass way, but if you're going to have to play one of them,
yep.
Who would you pick?
I think if you take travel out of it, I think the Canucks have, on paper, a little more vulnerability. And one of the things that they're dealing with right now, they have an outstanding goalie, and Thatcher Demko has had a great year, but he has been a little injury-prone in his career, and he is healing up from an injury now. They think he'll play some games before the end of the regular season. But that would be a little concern if I'm Rick Tocchet, their coach, of what am I going to see when Demko comes back? Is he going to be himself? And they were still in that – they're still in that kind of mode of not everybody was picking them to make the playoffs this year. They haven't made the playoffs the last few years. And all of a sudden, they're going to be the one seed. So there's a little bit of a, what is this team in the playoffs? You've been great in the regular season, but what are we going to see in the playoffs? I think you would have those questions, and you're under the microscope in Vancouver. The thing I don't like about it is you're in that bracket. You're in the Pacific, not only in the first round, but in the second round. So in the second round, you might play somebody like Edmonton, where the flight is still just as long, two of the longest flights that you have, and that can wear and tear on you. But again, if Andrew Burnett's sitting there going, look, I'm just glad let's get in there, and we'll see. We'll take whoever they give us. Dallas, on the other hand, shortest flight you could have. And then the next round, you would face two other teams, probably from the Central. There's, likely somebody like, it would be the winner of Colorado, Winnipeg, right?
Right.
In theory. That's another ridiculously tough matchup for sure, but the flights aren't ridiculously long there. There's a lot less travel if you're in that bracket. So it is pick your poison, electric chair or,
You remember this. It's like, back in the late 80s, yeah, it's probably late 80s, where you're in the middleweight division, Willie, and whether I fight Tommy Hearns, whether I fight Sugar Ray Leonard, or then a few years after that, Pernell Whitaker.
Yeah.
Margaret Hager. It doesn't matter which one I fight because it's going to be a hell of a. You're not catching many breaks with either four of these guys. One of the four. You're not catching any breaks. So just bring whichever one you open the door and that person comes out, that's who we fight. Predator is. Yeah. The Predators are. Whoever they open up that door to the playoff, whoever we play, we play.
Dallas is an interesting one in that. Up until the 9-2 game, right, which was a nightmare, the low point of the season, whatever you want to say.
The turning point, rather.
The Predators won twice in Dallas, and they should have won the first game here where they had the nightmare ending to the game, but they played a really good game up until then. Dallas has got that depth, right? They're so balanced up and down the lineup, and they've got a couple young players that have really come on. They're very, very good, but I think there's also a belief of, okay, we played pretty well against them. Our stuff works against them. If we play our game, they're going to be an underdog regardless. But
they've had success against Colorado as well.
Yeah, they've beaten Colorado. Colorado's weakness is they're not as dominant away from
home,
the ball arena. Yeah, okay. In Denver. Now, out there, they are really tough, and you'd have to find a way to win at least one there.
And
you'd
get four in Colorado, which is the scary part of it. So it really is kind of pick your poison. And look, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, it's not going to be easy. And we knew if and when the Predators made the playoffs, whatever matchup they were going to have in the first round was going to be an absolute gauntlet. But at this point, it's get in.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they're going to make the playoffs. They are. It is 99.6% chance per MoneyPuck.com that the Predators are making the playoffs. But take care of business against Boston. And then
tough business.
If you take care of business against St. Louis, which again, I know, easier said than done. You take care of business against Boston and St. Louis, and it feels like, all right, you pretty much have your business taken care of, and you can go ahead and clinch. And then we can have our conversations of, all right, let these players rest. Give them a couple of games off going into the playoffs. Give Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg and UC Saros, give them a little bit of rest before getting into the playoffs. So we're not getting down to the very last few games of the season of, you have to get these 2 points. You have to, and you have to take care of that business. So I think it's take care of business tonight against Boston, against a really good team. And really more so than that, just get back to what we saw in that 18-game point streak. I don't want to see you go up 2-0 against Arizona and then you poop in your pants. And then Ryan McDonagh gets tossed out of the game against Colorado and then you look like a different team after that. You know, stay on your game and don't get thrown off of your game and get back to that level of play that we've seen.
Yeah.
All right, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll catch up with PK Subban at some point.
We think.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. TBD. We're all on the edge of our seat, but we'll continue this conversation coming up next as well. We'll get into your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Not like necessarily a major reboot is in order. I mean, just a tweaking here and there.
Yeah, I liked our game. I think we created, you know, both games. We're not going to win them all. You know, it's a hard, hard league, especially on the road. But I thought we created enough in both games to have a better result. We just did some uncharacteristic things in Arizona. And, you know, the same things maybe in a different sense in the penalty kill and the lack of special teams in Colorado. And as we all know, late in the season, those games, that's what wins and loses hockey games.
That was Predators head coach Andrew Brunette after the loss to the Colorado Avalanche. He said, look, it's two games. We don't need a major reboot. We don't need a come to Jesus moment. We don't need to schedule a concert and then cancel it again. Like, we don't need, he said, I liked our game. Just need to get back on our game. And it is not a panic button time. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Well, Max Herz will do the pregame show starting at 6 p.m. Fabulous work done by Max Herz here.
Max, who has really struggled in the brackets this year. So I just gave him my condolences because I was that guy.
He did walk away crying.
He did.
He's a little down. He walked out in a hurry after
Max,
I said that.
Max, it'll be okay.
Turn big bully, Willie.
It was me last year. I just wanted to give him some therapy. Because
you went through it.
I went through it. I finished dead last last year. Dead last. I'm looking at a top 10 here, this year if I can if UConn keeps winning.
So
then
tell
I'll
him,
take.
Did you tell him about your story?
I told him there's hope.
You went from the outhouse to the penthouse in 1 year.
Yeah. So next
You're
year could
Houston
be his year.
You're the Houston Texans of NCAA
yes.
tournament.
Exactly.
Oh, yes, because I had more than one bad year. That's for sure.
I do want to get into your thoughts on the Predators, on the Titans. Everything is on the table. But first, Willie, we're looking at the St. Louis Blues here in the standings. And I have said, and I am not worried about the Predators making the playoffs. 99.6% chance of making the playoffs. It's two bad games. It's not a bad season. You're still 16-2-2 in your last 20. And I will take that. But at this point, Willie, how closely are you eyeing the St. Louis Blues in the standings?
Well, I think you have to. They're the only team that can catch them, really, because I think if you take a look at the Wild, the math is just not good at all for them, which is why they pulled the stunt of trying to pull the goalie again in the last one. At least the Wild catching the Predators.
Do you blame John Hines for that? I think it was a big cojones decision in the first place, and I thought for him to do it again, double big cojones.
You know,
but you don't blame him for doing it now because he's trying to get the points.
I guess not. I question why that's the best move in a game that's already in overtime. I think when you're in the
they said he should have did it in
regulation.
Yeah.
I think that makes
overtime.
More sense.
Yeah.
When you're desperate like that, and I think he's done a good enough job since he took over. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be back no matter what they do down the stretch. So it's really the Blues that you have to focus on. The Blues are 7-2-1 in their last 10, despite a loss to the Sharks. Mm-hmm. So they're playing pretty good hockey. They also have a very soft schedule in a couple of games after they play the Predators on Thursday. So they're going to keep winning. They're going to push you to where you've got to win some more games. They're not going to just check out of the race. So you're going to have to earn your way in. There's meat on the bone mm-hmm. that the Predators have to do. So that you have to be looking at the Blues. That's the one team that could knock you out. And the Blues have to pass, obviously, the Kings as well, or whoever is in that other wild card slot. It looks like the Golden Knights are playing so well that they have gone by the Kings for now. Mm-hmm. But I think the best way to focus on it, if you're Andrew Brunette, is just, look, take care of your own business.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You play 8 good games.
That's all you have.
You're
going to
win enough uh-huh. that it won't matter what the Blues are doing. And we'll talk a lot about Thursday, the head-to-head, because that's the one where you can really that's where the 4-point game comes in. The magic number is 8, so you can take care of 4 of the 8 on Thursday, uh-huh. regardless of what happens in this game.
2 points you get, 2 points the Blues don't get.
Exactly. Yeah. So the magic number would shrink by 4 uh-huh. there. So tonight you can put yourself in a great position if you can find a way to get a couple.
They
you can get a win
point.
Tonight, then you're
points,
really.
Period.
Yeah.
So whether it's a all-out win.
Yeah. You win 4 out of 8, it's over. They can't catch
you. Or you're going to overtime and you get a point. I think you need a point because of what St. Louis has been doing. But to me, they just need to play, I think, heading into the playoffs, because I do believe they're going to make it. Now, there are crazier things that have happened. I get that. But the odds that they'll make it is greater than not. Mm-hmm. They need to be playing good hockey headed into the
right.
playoffs. I think so. They need to be I think they need to be sort of on a winning streak. I don't think at this point in time, because of the two losses, more importantly, the loss to Arizona, that was the bad loss to me. It wasn't necessarily the Colorado game. Mm-hmm. It was the Arizona game. Because I asked this question, I think it was last week, when is that time where the Predators just say, shut it down and give guys rest? Like, is it the last 2 or 3 games of the season? Get them rest because you secured a playoff spot. But I think because this team is at the position they're in, I don't think they can afford a break. I really don't. I think they need to go into the playoffs on a winning note and everybody understanding there's no days off or anything other than possibly the days you get in between games. But we have to be going into the playoffs with a winning vibe. Mm-hmm. We can't go into the playoffs, even though we may make it, with 3 games left, we can't go into the playoffs not on a winning vibe. We can't. I think they have to go into the playoffs on a winning vibe. If they don't, I think it's going to hurt them once they get in.
I think it's safe to say they're not going to even think about that until they clinch. Once they clinch, then they can decide, is it worth keeping everybody in there to keep the vibe, like you're saying, and maybe improve your, stay in wild card position number one. I mean, they have to weigh all that with who's banged up
yes.
and who could use a couple of days extra to heal up from something so they are 100% good to go, or as close to 100% as possible when the playoff series starts. The one thing to keep in mind, too, and we don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse, but their season ends on a Monday. There's still two more days of regular season play after the Predators play Game 82 in Pittsburgh on that Monday. That's a week from this coming
So they will
Monday.
Have 2 days to rest.
So anyway. they'll have a couple extra days more than some of the teams from the end of the regular season to the start of the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Just want the Predators to take care of their own business.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be on the edge of your seat watching every St. Louis game from now until the end of the season, just hoping and praying that they drop a game, they don't go to overtime, and they don't get those points because you didn't take care of the business that you needed to take care of. So now you have to hope that everyone else can take care of their business against St. Louis. St. Louis, they got a pretty easy schedule from now until the end of the season. I mean, they got the Sharks on Saturday after they come here.
Yep, so they're going out to California, right?
The Blackhawks, like, all very winnable. Yeah. And
so those next three, really, they even though they had to go out west.
Points right there.
Right. So if they keep right on going and they get momentum, you can see how teams get streaky, right? Mm-hmm. The Blues are already playing well. If they get momentum going, they're surging after they – if they can pull off a win here on Thursday, they'll have life, mm-hmm. right? Even if it's not to catch the Predators, it could be to catch the Kings. But look, you don't really want to think that way if you're the Predators. Just you play eight good games. If you win four of the eight, it's over. Yeah. It doesn't matter. What the Blues could
Taking
go undefeated.
Business.
The Blues could beat you and go undefeated, and they still would not catch you if you win four of the eight. Now, of course, if you could win less than that if you beat them head-to-head, then – that's even less than that.
It makes things a lot more comfortable. Room.
Right, yeah. right. Yeah. So that's why it's 99%, but 99% can become 75% and then 50%.
Worry, where Willie.
I used the Titans last year, not this past year, but the year before. I was like, it's not over. It's not over. You still got to win. So until you get the X, Worry, where Willie will always
be keeping
an eye on
things. But they were in the middle of the season then, Willie. I mean, Titans were in the middle. They still had a bunch of games left.
They fired their general manager
exactly.
in the middle
and
of the season.
And they fired their general manager.
But even, remember there was a game, we had this discussion. Mm-hmm. The Titans, I think the Titans lost to the Texans. Uh-huh. And you're like, uh-oh. And I said, well, if Jacksonville beats the Cowboys, and you're like, well, the Cowboys are going to beat Jacksonville.
You can't rely on the Cowboys to do anything.
And Jacksonville beat the Cowboys. And I was like, oh, it's getting close. And then, well, you're going to have to beat Jacksonville that last game. And, Josh Dobbs is the quarterback. You know, it just stuff happens. Stuff can happen.
Weird things happen.
You got to get there.
Let's get into your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin in Hopkinsville texts in and says, it's kind of crazy to me. Everyone is on the edge when we come off of an 18-game point streak. We're closer to moving up out of the wild card than down, and we're buying fingernails.
Right. Biting, I guess.
Biting.
I should say
okay,
biting
there,
fingernails.
There we go. Okay.
I've biting, never yes. known anybody to buy a fingernail.
I have bought a few.
I mean, some. Yeah. I think he was thinking, like, real. Yeah. Do you bite phony fingernails? You don't do that, right?
I don't know.
I do not. These are expensive.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with that. I have bitten my real fingernails for sure.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to stay steady. This is where I go back to the Barry Trotz construction of this team. Which is, I think, a big, big story in the league. And that is because people weren't sure. Like, you had a lot of this. What is Barry Trotz doing exactly? Are they? I guess they're not rebuilding. Why did they go sign Gus Nyquist and Luke Shen and Ryan O'Reilly? But that was what he said to open that press conference. I am bringing to the table serial winners. I want our young players to be around veterans that know how to win. I'm not bringing you to Nashville to retire. I want you to come here and show these guys how to win. So I feel good about in that locker room, especially with adding a guy like Jason Zucker, who's another guy that's won a lot of games. He's been on a lot of good teams. He's been through the battles, that they will bring the right mindset to the game. Mm-hmm. And that's all. There's certain things that you can control and certain things you can't control when you play. And that's why the worry wart. And believe me, Andrew Burnett is a worrywart, too. Like, he thinks in all these different ways. You always, as a coach, you always have to have that little bit of sting inside of you going, we got to look at the worst case scenario here. What if this happens? I got to be ready if that happens. But I like the fact that this veteran group, I think, will carry the right mindset out into these last eight games, starting tonight.
I think that's the key there is you've got veterans that have been around the block. And not just been around the block in this league, but they've been around the block in the postseason. It's not like this stage is going to be too big for them. They've been here before. They've been on bigger stages before. Another texter texts in says, I'm not worried, yet. If we lose in regulation tonight, then lose in overtime against the Blues, I'll worry then.
That even if they lose in overtime against the Blues, it's still a big point.
Get a point.
Yeah, you still get a point.
It gets a little. The feeling will be a little different if that happens. If they lose the next two, mm-hmm. which look it can happen, and then you got to again go back to, well, this is a veteran team. What do you do about it? You got to keep going.
Regroup.
Yeah.
And I think
you got an interesting back to back this weekend. That's the next thing on the horizon at the Islanders, who are still fighting. Their odds are against them, but they could still get in. Mm-hmm. And then the Devils, who are probably all but out at this point, but it's a back-to-back. They lost to the Devils before, so that's a tricky game, right? Then the schedule, the last three, gets a little easier, a little bit, but you got a huge game against Winnipeg on Tuesday. That's no picnic. We know that.
Right. And if that does play out, like the texter said, you lose tonight, you lose in overtime against St. Louis, yes, you'd pick up that incredibly important point. Yes, you're still sitting in a playoff spot, but I think beyond just the standings, beyond the points, it's concerning if you lose these next two games, because that means that they're probably not playing very well.
Right. And then things can snowball, right?
Yes.
That's the worry wart.
That is WWW.
You can write worrywart.com.
You just gave him a reason to worry. You just laid out the scenario for Willie Wart worrying self to come back out.
Well, I will say I'm not.
But if you do that though, I think that's what in the locker room that drives you, right?
Of
like
course.
Look, they're going to expect them to push. Uh-huh. Expect St. Louis to win. Like last night, you could be watching that game. Go ahead, beat the Oilers. Make it tough on us. Push us. We're going to come back. We're going to do this ourselves. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. No, I get it.
You can't just say, "Well, we're fine. We're going to coast. They're going to lose. They're going to lose." You can't. That's the mentality that gets you in trouble.
Yeah.
And I can't worry about it until it happens. Like, I could say, "Well, what if they lose tonight and they lose Saturday and they lose Thursday and then they lose the next four?" Like, we can worry about all of these different situations, but it hasn't happened yet. If they beat the Bruins tonight, it's like, all right, okay,
right.
We're feeling pretty good. We beat a cup contending team at home, and we're back to our winning ways. It's crazy how much can change after tonight, and it's crazy how much can and probably will change within the next 48 hours, because we could be talking about a completely different perspective on Friday morning, depending on what happens against the Bruins tonight and the Blues on Thursday. I want to get back into your phones on this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Legarius Sneed spoke with the media today. He will join our show at 1:15. So looking forward to catching up with Legarius Sneed, Titans new cornerback. But there was one report that I saw, and it's something that we can absolutely bring up with Legarius Sneed, but it made me raise an eyebrow a little bit. If it's true, it could be a little bit concerning, and we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline Willie D. Mays. We're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators taking on the Boston Bruins tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starting here on 102.5 and 106.3. The game starting at 6 p.m. But P.K. Subban is back in Nashville. We will catch up with him here in just a few moments. So appreciate PK and his time. I'm going to ask him some questions about what the Predators have coming up next. And, you know, of course, Willie is going to be worrying about the playoffs. But I think PK is excited about what this Predators team can do in the playoffs. But want to get into your phones before we catch up with PK. Ryan Texan says the 18-game streak is great. We're not having this playoff conversation without it. However, the entire time the Preds were in that streak, I wondered about peaking too soon. Don't want to limp into the playoffs. This idea of peaking too soon, I think, has been a big topic of conversation amongst Predators.
Because I think we've seen it.
Is that real? Like, do we believe in that?
Well, I do think there are teams that do that. Do we have PK?
We have PK?
Okay, awesome. Let's go to him then.
Well, PK Subban joins us now. PK, you are back in Nashville. You'll be at the game tonight. I absolutely want to talk about the great cause, the reason why you'll be back at Bridgestone Arena tonight. But first and foremost, I have to talk about that 18 game point streak that the Predators went on, 16-2-2 in their last 20 games. I saw you were fired up about this Predators team and what they had accomplished. Are the Predators a cup contender?
Well, according to Roman Josi, I didn't get fired up early enough. He's like, you waited for us to get, you know, on an 18-point win streak before you say something. So clearly I was late to the party, but I definitely felt that something needed to be said. And not just because, you know, obviously I love the city of Nashville and the team, and I know players on the team, but it is truly remarkable the stretch that they've had and the season as a whole. I think when you consider, you know, new faces that have come in, head coach Andrew Burnett and Barry Trotz, who has been the mastermind behind putting, you know, this culture together and building this culture along with Roman Josi and the coaching staff and leadership group there. They've done a remarkable job, and I think they need to be commended on that because there's so much parity in the league and everybody's going through rebuilding, retooling, managing of the cap, picks, all of that stuff. And they've made it look easy. They really have, and it's not. You know, it started with developing some of their young players, Angelista, Novak, just to name a few. But you see Dante Fabro and his game coming full circle, and the veterans and the mix with everybody who's come in. It doesn't surprise me the way that they've played, but if you spend any time around these guys, it's a tight-knit group, and it seems like they've played together for a very long time. But I think a lot of the credit needs to go to the coaching staff and the organization for the group of guys that they put together in that locker room. It's a special group, and I think they're going to have a special run this year. I really believe they're going to have an opportunity to do something special.
We're talking with P.K. Subban, and I I repeat your sentiment, P.K., in regards to the Predators and what I believe they can do once they get in the playoffs. I know Willie, he's still a little bit worried, P.K.,
I'm confident.
You know, they win one more game, I think they will be fine. But from a player standpoint, you just brought this up, P.K., new head coach, new GM, some new players, new faces in that locker room. How long does it take, you know, as a former player, how long does it take for everyone to sort of get on page with what the coach is teaching or what he's trying to explain to everyone? Because this team started off a little shaky, but then the second half of the season, it just seems like they morphed into this different team.
Well, I think essentially the Preds have kind of cut the fat off the meat. You know, I think in sports, traditionally as fans, we get fed up sometimes where it seems like almost like a revolving door with coaches and GMs. You know, the one minute they're coaching here and then they get fired, they get rehired in another place. But there's a value to the people in sports that have been doing this a long time. And I think Barry Trotz is an example of that. You know, you've seen him have success now in multiple places. He comes back to kind of where it all kind of started for him. And now I think he's going to be in a position to do his best work. And the reason is why is that the expectations for the Nashville Predators weren't to be a team that, you know, had an 18-point streak during the season or a team that could potentially knock off one of those higher-seeded Western Conference teams that everybody was touting to win the Stanley Cup in the first round. But they are that team. And the first round of the playoffs is going to be special across the board. But I think the Preds cut the fat off the meat in terms of understanding the players that they're bringing into their organization. And that comes from experience. You know, first, you know, Barry Trotz, the smartest thing he did was hiring Andrew Burnett. We saw what, you know, when he went to New Jersey as an assistant coach, what he did for that team. You know, is it ironic that they make the playoffs last year and he's no longer there and they're out of a playoff spot? I'm sure there's a lot to that. No goaltending and some injuries, but he was definitely a big part of the culture there and that team and those players developing at the rate that they did. So I think bringing him into Nashville and being able to identify what Andrew Burnett can do as a coach, also a guy who I played against early on in my career, who understands the game, commands respect from the players. I think Nashville's done a remarkable job of hiring the right people, but also developing players, developing the young players and bringing in the right people to fill out that team, and there's no question they have the right culture there.
Yeah, it seems like they does, like they do, PK. And it seems like they're getting balanced play from every line. For a while, we just thought that this team was top line heavy, meaning their first line. But it seems like, to a point, second half of the season, every one of their lines did some contribution to them winning in the game. But with all that being said, do you think Philip Forsberg is playing the best hockey he's played in years?
Well, I'm very excited for Phil because I think this is the first time he's actually and this is not to take away from Ryan Johansson, who, you know, I played with Joey, and Joey's vision on the ice and his ability to find players, he does that at a high level, and he did that for our team. He's a big part of the reason why we won President's Trophy and went to a cup final. But I think Gustav Nyquist might be the best fit for Philip Forsberg throughout his career. Obviously, Ryan O'Reilly does his thing. You can't forget about him and what he brings. But the chemistry between Nyquist and Forsberg hasn't gone unnoticed. And I'm sure if you ask teams around the league, they've noticed the chemistry as well, because they've been burning up a lot of teams, a lot of their top D pairings, exposing guys. And I think this might be the first time Phil has really had someone who has the ability to know when to shoot and know when to find him and get him in positions to shoot the puck. And, you know, that's really selfless. Like, you got to give a guy like Gustav credit because, you know, I think he's got 5 goals in, like, his last 5 games or something like that. This guy can score as well. But, you know, Philip Forsberg's got one of the best shots and releases in the league. He's the guy that you want shooting the puck, and he understands that. And, you know, that's how a team works. You know, you play with guys. Everybody wants to do well. But you got to know how to bring the best out of your teammates. And Gustav's a guy who's been around the league a long time, played with a lot of players. But I think for Phil, playing with the right player, this might be the best fit for him. And once again, that's why you got to give a guy like Barry Trotz credit and Andrew Brunette of knowing how to get this all to work. And they're making it work. And, you know, but this is definitely some of the best hockey I've seen Phil play over his career.
We're talking to P.K. Subban, who is now with ESPN, of course, former Predator, and he's in town to, again, commemorate his great program that he put together a few years ago when he was playing with Nashville called the Blue Line Buddies. P.K., there's probably a lot of new listeners that don't know the story behind it, where you put this program together where you bring together a couple of police officers with families who live in those communities so they can bond and watch a hockey game together. It's a great idea. For people that don't know the story, where did you come up with that idea?
Yeah, so my best friend, Chris O'Sullivan, who played hockey, was drafted by the Calgary Flames, you know, played 12 years pro, but also worked in law enforcement for 12 years. His brothers and sisters are detectives in Boston. So he's got a lot of people that work in law enforcement, but I've been privy to kind of having that view of law enforcement and what they do every day. And when I was in Nashville, you know, thinking about this program and how it came together always brings me back to, you know, really how I developed my relationship with my teammates. Because, you know, in Nashville during that time, we go back to Colin Kaepernick and everything that was happening in the whole sports world during that time. And I'm coming into a new team with new players, probably a lot of hype and a lot of attention around myself being traded for the captain. And, you know, I wanted to build a bridge not only in the community, but with my teammates as well. And I think this program was something that guys trusted. And because they trusted that program, I think they also trusted me. And that's why I have such a solid bond with my teammates and the organization, is that everybody kind of wrapped their arms around this program. And I wanted to do something, like I said, to build bridges in the community and figure out a way to bring people together. And this program has been nothing short of that. So, you know, every time to come back, to come back and do this night and have them honor the program, not honor me, but really just honor the players and the organization and everybody involved, is special to me because it reminds me of the first time I came to Nashville and truly was welcomed and accepted by my teammates. And, you know, every guy that gets traded, you know, that's what you want when you go to your team, is to feel that the guys can trust you. And I really feel that the way we dealt with that whole situation and building a program that everybody could wrap their arms around, and the city, the organization, coupled with law enforcement and, you know, underprivileged youth in our communities, it was a win-win for everybody, and it still is a win.
What, one of the people that I know has helped carry that program forward is Roman Josi, who's become obviously a good friend of yours over the years, besides a great teammate. You've played with a lot of teams, different captains, but maybe just pull back the curtain a little bit and talk about Roman Josi, the person and the leader, because he's grown a lot, I'm sure, since you first met him, where he was really on the rise.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I can't really say enough good things about Yost, because when I go back, you know, I think about all the players that I played with. And, you know, you usually can be critical of, you know, pretty much every player. And with Yost, it was pretty, really, really cool getting to know him. Now, you got to understand this. Like, in sports, it's competitive. In the locker room, it's competitive. On the team, it's competitive. You're competitive with the guys you play against, but you also push yourself, and you need to have teammates that push you. And I think for me and where I was coming in at that career, Yost and I played the same position. We, you know, we're on the power play. We play in all situations. I couldn't tell you if there was ever a moment where there was ever jealousy, like whether there was ever hate, whether there was – it was always good with them, always. And it was always sincere, always wanted to see him do well. And when he was chosen to be the captain of the team, I don't think I've ever played on any team in my life in hockey where everybody felt it was the right decision. Like, everybody knew that he was the guy. And it wasn't necessarily just because he was, you know, one of the best players on the team or in the league. It was just the way he was, the way he was with people. He's a super nice guy. And don't let the pretty eyes and the smile fool you. He's a competitor as well. He's a competitor as well, and he wants to be the best. He wants to be great at what he does, but he knows how to treat people. He knows how to treat people. He knows how to treat his teammates. And you know what? When you represent an organization, that's what you want in your leadership. And, you know, for this program, he's got a million things going on. He's got his kids at home. He's a family guy. But Yost always finds time, and he makes it look effortless to do the things that he needs to do as a captain. And, you know, I'm very, very proud of him, the way he's grown into that role, because it's not easy. Seeing Shea Weber leave, having all these different faces come in a city like Nashville, being from Switzerland, to take all of that together and put it together the way that he has and still remain as one of the dominant players in the game, I truly commend him, and Nashville should celebrate him. They should celebrate him every day that he plays, because he's going to be one of the best players, if not the best one, that you've seen come through the organization.
He's one of the best on the ice, one of the best off the ice, and you are as well,
now,
PK.
If there's a head transplant, if there's going to be a head transplant, he'd be the first one to get one on the team. But, yes, he's one of the best guys for sure.
I forgot where I saw this. Somebody on Twitter, maybe it was the Pat McAfee show, they said, ugliest captain in the NHL, Roman Josi.
Oh, yeah. I like to give it to him, because I'm just sick of – Well, I'm sick of everybody, including my mom, my dad, everybody. Oh, Josi, he's so cute, and I'm sick of it. So someone's got to keep him on the ground, right?
There you go.
Got to keep him humble. Yep. Got to keep him humble. PK, That's the best. I know you've had a media car wash today, but we really appreciate your time. Enjoy the game tonight, and thanks for joining us.
I will. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it. Former Predator, now ESPN NHL analyst, PK Subban. Appreciate him for stopping by. And the car wash continues, at least on our show, because new Titans cornerback Legarius Sneed will join us coming up next. We'll speak with him on the other side. Caroline Willie D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever.
Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.